So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And last week I touched on the subject of the Christian walk. And I'd like to continue a little bit on that. The Christian walk is basically how a Christian conducts himself with God's word. How they live according to God's word. And that's the Christian walk. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, which is a scripture that deals with the Christian walk and some things that God says concerning it. And I just thought I'd read it again. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And we saw last week the word vocation is translated as calling every other time it's used. And it would be properly supplied here too. Worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. And the word worthy deals with weights. We have a balance over there, a scale rather. And it's not balanced. So the left side is higher than the right side. And that's because there's more fruit on the right side than there are fruits on the left side, apparently. And so it's not scaled, balanced right. And this word is the word for balance. It's used balance, but it deals with weights. And we're to have weight on one side that's equal to the weight on the other. And it's showing the reflection of that our lives should reflect, be in balance with the truths in God's word. It's specifically the first three chapters of Ephesians. So we looked at a little bit about Ephesians, first three chapters, a little smidgen, but it does show, that we are his children. We have many things that God has made us in Christ Jesus. It's so big, it's so humongous, it's incredible. It's beyond anything that our imaginations probably could have on how people should live or can live. There's no utopia-like society that's ever been put together that has topped that which God makes available for people. Just nothing out there. I know they say socialism would be terrific if you get socialism, but it's nothing compared to what God makes available. Unfortunately, I wasn't going to get very far in the first couple chapters of Ephesians. I just wanted to look at one section before we look more in the walk of walking worthy. And that's Ephesians chapter 2. This is part of walking worthy before God Almighty. And it deals with our calling in the body of Christ as members in particular. And in verse 11, we'll pick it up. It says, "Wherefore remember that you, in being in time past Gentiles," not gentle, but Gentiles, "in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Prior to the Grace Administration, prior to Pentecost, there were two groups of people. Funny ones and not funny ones. Ugly ones and not ugly ones. Now, the two groups were Gentile and Jew, or Judean. If you weren't a Judean, you were a Gentile. And the Jews were called out of God. They were given the promises of God. The Christ came through the Judeans. So all other people outside of the Judeans were considered Gentiles. They didn't worship the one true God necessarily. They weren't called of God. They could worship, but they weren't called of God. And then what God did, which was the great mystery, is he put both groups, the Gentiles and the Jews, together under one roof, so to speak, and called it the body of Christ. And so saying, at one time you were just Gentiles. Verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ," which is not a good spot to be in, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Who wants to be in that spot? Nobody. But at one time, the Gentiles were. I was a Gentile. I wasn't a Jew. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ, who is our peace, who hath made both one, referring to the Jew and the Gentile, made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, or two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Both groups now could have access to God Almighty. Now therefore you are no longer, or no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we became a fellow citizen, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So these people, which we're part of, is a habitation of God. It's where God lives and dwells. Some people have a dog, and they have a dog house, or a dog room, or a dog closet, or a dog boot, whatever. But there's a certain place that that dog hangs out, and that's the dog house. I remember, for many years, I never brought Susan flowers. I think it was 25 years. I used to bring her flowers when I was dating her every day. And then I got...
That I picked.
Doesn't matter how I got it. It's not the...
Well, sometimes it is.
It's the thought. So anyway, I really felt inspired to buy her roses. I bought her a dozen roses for her 25th anniversary. And I tell the florist, and I said I wanted to get 12 roses. And I said, and I'm not in the doghouse. I just want you to know. Right. It's not like I'm buying these because I've got to get out of the doghouse. But anyway, we are a habitation of God. These people, which we're a part of, is where God lives and hangs out, so to speak. Verse 6 of chapter 3, and this is dealing with the mystery, you know, these things. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by that gospel. Our culture, and around the world, well, in our culture in the United States, maybe not the Middle East, but our culture, Jew and Gentile doesn't really ring a bell at all to most people. You could say they're now made one, or one man, one new man. It's like, okay, I don't know what that means. But... if you go to Galatians chapter 3, it describes again the body of Christ and who is in it. It's far beyond just saying, okay, the Gentiles, you know, those people who didn't believe in the one true God, and Judeans who had the law, who didn't follow it anyway. They're all the same now. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 gives a little more detail on it. It says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And here's the specifics. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. And in Colossians it says Scythian or non-Scythian. Scythians were the wildest group of people on earth at that time. For you are all in Christ Jesus, all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But it's not just a difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no, in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female. You ever notice a little strife in the United States concerning men and women? It's like in our faces now. Like, oh, well, you know, he's a man. Well, so it makes him a bad guy, or she's a woman. How about bond or free? People with lots of money and people with no money. Any differences? Do they seem to all mix together? You know, the two groups? Yeah. How about the wild people and the not so wild people? You know, there's, you know, they're in the body of Christ is whoever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ gets born again. They're in the body of Christ. They could be the wildest person you've ever seen, could be the calmest person you've ever seen, could be a female, could be a male. Not going to be a transgender because you're either male or female. Right. Not going to be any joint. That'd be a two for one. God didn't make any deals like that. Okay, you're male today, female tomorrow. Oh, there's two of you now. You get twice as much in heaven. No. But it's all people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the mystery. It's not just, it's only these good people over here. They're the ones in the body of Christ. It could be the wackiest. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul before he was an apostle. He was a murderer. and his favorite people to murder were Christians. So it wasn't so hot. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. But in the first three chapters, it talks a lot about the body of Christ and how great it is and what God has done for his people and put them in it. So you get a little clue that God's interested in not just our one self, but all those other believers that are around us. And we're not the only one in the body of Christ. Like, Mary's not the only one in the body of Christ. Other people have gotten born again. And God's concerned about those people enjoying one another and loving one another and upholding one another. It's a body of people. It's a group. And God's heart is just as big for the Scythian as he is for the good guy, or for the slave as he is for the billionaire, or for the male as much as the female. And it's just pretty wild. So back in chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 2. It gives us a little more clues as to how to walk this worthy walk. We're supposed to walk it with all lowliness and meekness. The word lowliness basically means a humility of mind or a modesty of mind. And it's kind of contradictory when you read the first three chapters of Ephesians to see how great you are, but you live a life where you think very smallly of yourself, very humbly of yourself. It seems like, well, if you're not great, how could you think so lowly of yourself? But the lowliness is due to that which God has made you. You know, you're great because of what God did. You're not great because of how great you made yourself. It's not that type. You didn't do the work. You know, God did it with his son, Jesus Christ. And so we're great because of what God has done, not because of what we have done. And basically, it's a modesty of bringing yourself low underneath of God and his word. We keep ourselves underneath what God has said we are. We're humble to that. You ever meet somebody that's not too humble to the scriptures? Oh, I don't care what that stuff says. You know, I got my own way of doing things. God wants us to be humble-minded. With meekness, Jesus Christ was meek. Moses was the meekest man on earth at the time he was living. It's a meekness that deals with a gentleness, a kindness. With long-suffering. And long-suffering is where you suffer long. Have you ever noticed you're the only perfect person on the earth? Everybody else is a pain in the ass. And they're dealing with those people. So God says, this walk, this worthy walk, part of it is that you have a long suffering, that you have the ability to suffer long. Ever heard the phrase, you know, that person has a short fuse, or that person has a long fuse? That fuse is really long, but don't let it get to where the bomb is. Or else there's an explosion. You know, It deals with a patience with one another. Why? Because you're the only perfect person on earth. All others are not. You know, it's just we have to. It takes work to be with people. It does. I mean, look how many years you have put up with my sense of humor. There's a perfect example. You just keep enduring. It's wild. So, you know, we do have our quirks. And God's will is that we have that patience, that long-suffering for one another. The word for bearing one another is upholding one another. God wants us to uphold one another. Again, because we need help. Anybody out there just need no help whatsoever? No, we all need help. Just the way life is. You know, it's just God wants us to be interacting with his people. He wants us to be with his people. He wants us to be loved by his people. He wants us to love his people. He's very interested in his kids. And this just shows some of the detail of how to live together, growing in the grace of God and the love of God. So verse 2 shows some of that. Let's read verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word endeavoring means to make a haste or to have an earnestness. In the working translation, it's put as put forth a diligent effort. It's the Greek word spudazo. There's an effort involved. In the slang, you could say work your butt off. It's a slang, you know, really work your butt off. That doesn't mean you take it and you work it off. You get those jiggly old-time weight loss things and you jiggle your butt. You know, it's where you work diligently. And what we're to work diligently for is to keep. The word keep means to guard. To guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God made the unity. We didn't make it. We're just to guard it. And guarding it is we're guarding the Word of God that's living in our own lives and helping others to let, you know, that the Word, we can help people, that the Word lives in their lives too. And we help one another. And that's part of guarding the unity of the Spirit. Why? There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who's above all, and through all, and in you all. You notice there's one word that keeps coming up? Yeah, I wonder why. God's interested in unity, and we have a part in that. We can have a part in that. It's certainly available. You ever notice, not all elderly people, but I've noticed through the years, just in an observation, it's not biblical, this is just Wesley talking, that older people, the older they get, the less association they have with people. Now, sometimes it's because their friends die. You know, they're gone. So, okay, I'm not associating with them anymore. But like if you see a kid in kindergarten, as soon as they get in the room, they're making friends with everybody. They're just easy to see that these kids just want to make friends. Then they get older and older. Well, I don't like this person because they said something about me. And then they're done with that person. After a while, you get old enough, you got nobody to argue with. Because you kind of like shut them all out. My own birth mother was like that. By the time she was early 60s, she had no association with anybody. None. And it was like, man, how many people can you piss off? And it's just, so that's what I've noticed. The older people get, the less people they want to be around because they don't like whatever it is about that person. And but God's heart is that we're the opposite. And it takes long suffering, for sure. It takes a lot of things. But God's interested in the believers living the Word of God, living the mystery as a body, as a one body. We're going to go to verse 11. And to do that, he's helped. He's given five gift ministries, their ruling ministries, their service ministries to help God's people. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And there's a threefold reason for the perfecting or the completing or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Those people who have those abilities, that's if they're working their ministry, that is the effect that it has for God's people. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, from this point forward, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, it's what God wants. He wants the body of Christ edified, built up, and we have a part in that. Verse 24, this is part of the renewed mind process, a very popular verse that we understand. It says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is the new man nature, but in a bigger picture, context-wise in Ephesians, it's the new man that's listed in Ephesians 2 that we read. Jew, Gentile, coming together, so making one new man. So part of our putting on, in putting the Word of God on, is to be one body minded. Not just myself and what I can do to bless myself or take care of myself, but what about the rest of the body of Christ? You know, it's a one body thinking. And, you know, God just wants us to take care of one another. Look at verse 32. It says, and be ye nasty towards one another. Ignore one another. Get angry with that person. No, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And it's part of living life. Joey and Kristen have their two kids here. Something that I've noticed with most parents, including these two, is that if they have more than one kid, two or more, their desire is that those kids like each other, love each other, are friends with each other, and will have a relationship with them all the rest of their lives. I haven't met a parent yet that says, I can't wait till these kids can't stand at each other anymore. I can't wait till they beat each other up and are nasty towards each other. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, parents desire their kids, if they got more than one, to at best get along. You know, but to love each other, serve each other. And God's got the same desire. And he does it with his word as we have one body thinking, we apply those things, what he says. But part of the greatness of chapters 1 through 3 is the one body. Not just all the things he gave you only. It's what he gave to somebody next to you and the other person, and goes on and on and on. And then lastly, we're going to look just at a scripture in chapter 6. Well, we'll go to chapter 5. We'll do 2, sorry. Verse 32. There's a small section here concerning how the husband and wife are to live in a marital circumstance relationship. And at the end, verse 32, it says, this is a great mystery, you know, referring to that those two are to operate. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. You know, it's bigger than just a marriage. It's a whole one body. How Christ takes care of the church. You know, it's just That's what we're to emulate. And then chapter 6, verse 19, or verse 18, I'm sorry. This is part of being one body-minded. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. We've got a lot of alls here. All perseverance and supplication for what? All saints. Not just yourself. I mean, it's good to pray for ourselves. But for all saints. It's wild. Even those who you think are screwed up. And there are a lot of those. You know, the one body is not in unity in its five senses realm, that's for sure. But we keep trying. We pray for God's people, whether they're a Roman Catholic or they're Baptists or any other denomination. You know, they're just man-made denominations. If they're born again of God's Spirit, they're God's kid. And they need prayer. We need prayer. And so to be a watchdog, so to speak, for God's people in prayer. I'm very thankful that I'm a receiver of that. You know, and that people pray for me, that people pray for us as a group. And some people have a tenacity, a great tenacity to do so. It burns in their heart to do so. And I'm thankful for that. But God's will is that we all do that, not just certain people. So it's part of that walking worthy is to be mindful that we're part of a big body that Christ, that God put together, and that he wants us to function within that body and to be blessed with one another, to help one another, and to be a blessing to each other. So it's just a great thing.